بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You tuned in to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir. And this morning we're talking about the need for counseling. Sometimes, well, I won't say sometimes, in life there are twists and turns. And when these twists and turns come on our path, sometimes we are able to deal with it amongst ourselves or, you know, getting the support of family members. But sometimes these twists and turns that happen in life become so overwhelming that we need to seek professional help. And when we are at that point, we need to remember that there is nothing wrong in asking for help. Are there still stigmas attached to counseling? Are we still worried about what will people say if I cannot manage a particular problem? Does it show that there's a reflection on me that I'm a weak person? Absolutely not. To our beloved parents that are tuned in today, and to caregivers, family members, grandparents, educators, people in maktabs, all of us that deal with children, there are times when we are faced with a situation. It could be a behavioral problem with a learner. It could be a parenting issue. It could be something where you may not be in a very good space and you need to deal with something regarding the child under your care and you need a little bit of help. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. I first want to start off by saying to every parent that is listening in today, parents, grandparents, caregivers, anyone that is around children and takes care of children, you are an amazing person and you are doing a fantastic job. You are doing the best that you can. And you know what? That is good enough. Alhamdulillah. And if at some point in time where you feel that, am I doing something wrong? Is my child or my teen behaving in a certain way because of something that I didn't do? You know what? That's also okay. It's called self-reflection. There's nothing wrong with it. But seeking help, asking somebody else for their opinion, for their guidance, for advice, going to a professional, whether it be a psychologist or a counselor, there is nothing wrong with that. That is called empowering and educating yourself to make informed choices, informed decisions, so that you can benefit the people around you. So please never forget that. Don't feel that you are not good enough. You are always trying your best. We are a work in progress. Always remember that. So today we're going to be talking about the need for counseling with children and especially teenagers. And I'm so delighted that the guest that we will be discussing this with is Sister Nazmira Abu Ismail. She is a life coach, she's a counselor, and she's also a psychometrist. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Nazmira, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Walaikum salam, Bibi Aisha. It's always an honor and a pleasure to chat with you.
Jazakallah. We always learn so much from you, Nazmira. And you know, especially me talking about counseling, I mean, 2020 probably required people to need counseling more than ever in their lives in so many different aspects of how things have obviously not gone according to plan, whatever that is. And also, when it comes to counseling, seeking guidance from somebody else, that's always something good. It's empowering.
Exactly. You know, 2020 has been such a year that not only South Africans, but internationally, people were seeking counseling because many people have lost their jobs. They were made redundant. Schools were closed down. Matriculants didn't know where they stand. It was an awful experience. I think this was the most popular year that counseling actually emerged in society.
Absolutely. And also, when we do speak to somebody else, even if you're going to a professional counselor, when you're going and you're expressing how you feel, when you're speaking about your feelings, you're actually listening to what you're saying and thinking to yourself that, you know what, the answers are already in what I'm saying. We just don't realize that.
And you know, the fact that you are speaking without the feeling or fear of being judged is really important. Because many times if you're speaking to people that you know, or with your parents or your friends or anybody in your comfort zone and circle, you always have the fear of being judged. But if you're talking to a counselor, you know that that option is not available here.
Absolutely. That will obviously bring me to my first question. Why is counseling so important for young children and teenagers, and what are the benefits? And the most important one that you said right now, I think that would be more relative to teenagers, where they are talking to somebody in an atmosphere of non-judgment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so before we begin why counseling is important, I just want to, you know, clarify to all of you listeners today what counseling actually is. Now, usually if somebody says you need to go for counseling, the general view is that why do you need to go and talk to somebody? Talk to me. I'm your mother. Talk to me. I'm your father. You don't really need to talk to somebody else. But counseling actually refers to the process of providing professional intervention, support, guidance, and assistance in resolving many personal, social, behavior, or psychological problems that anyone is experiencing. And when it comes to the importance of counseling, it's really important for young children and teenagers because it provides a platform to open up all their bottled internal and external conflicts arising from different situations. Remember, Bibi Aisha, every child, every individual is unique, yes, with unique personalities facing unique problems. And sometimes you're not so comfortable just talking to your family or your friends about this. You want a non-judgmental view, an objective view. And that is what we as counselors offer.
It's very important. And also, if we could just maybe talk about reasons why a child may need counseling. We often forget, you know, we look at children and mashallah, they always are so resilient. They are. But you will come to a point where that resilient child may not be able to deal with certain things that are going on in their life. For example, I mean, you're going to obviously elaborate on this, but I would think, why would a child need counseling? Obvious one would be bullying. It could be sibling rivalry, fear for a particular, you know, maybe something at school that the child's having difficulty with, relocating, separation anxiety with parents, a death of a loved one.
You know, it's such a broad aspect why children need counseling. It stems, children sometimes from the ages of 3 and 4 already, without parents realizing it, but need some form of intervention. Sometimes they may be suffering from some behavior problems. Some children come from broken families or living with parents who have broken relationships. And these sorts of environments definitely take a toll and impact on these children. Sometimes the child is not able to fully function at a mainstream school, and because the child is so young, parents might overlook it and think that perhaps the child would blend in at some point, and they don't realize the need of a special needs school or, you know, a non-mainstream school. So there are a lot of options as to why children need counseling. Another aspect you mentioned is bullying. And also, I think more than boys, it is more teenage girls that attend counseling, mainly because of personality issues. And I don't know if you remember from our previous conversation about bullying among teenage girls.
Yes.
We spoke about self-concept, self-identity, you know, trying to understand who you are as a young emerging woman.
Now, interesting enough that you said that, you know, you have lots of teenage girls that come for counseling as compared to teenage boys. I'm going to bring you now to the next obvious question. Are there still stigmas surrounding going for counseling, seeking professional help? Has the mindset changed, or are we still sometimes feeling that, you know what, we can deal with this on our own? People don't need to know about any of this. Let's just kind of sweep it under the carpet and it's just going to disappear. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that there are still a lot of stigmas attached to counseling, unfortunately. It's really looked down upon, and it's actually considered as an embarrassment if you're attending counseling sessions. So let's say, for example, you are in a school, in a particular classroom, and you need to now, during maybe your life skills session, you need to go for your counseling session. It's really looked down upon. People talk behind your back that something is probably wrong with you, or you are going through something, that is why you're attending counseling. From a society's perspective, definitely. When people hear the word counseling, naturally, the instant response is, I'm not mad. Now, counseling is not something, you know, where you would have to attend if you have mental instability. It's just used as a facilitative process.
Mm-hmm.
Which is used to guide and support individuals in attaining their desired goals. Now, going back to the types of counseling, if you're attending counseling, it does not really mean that you are undergoing any problem. You get different types of counseling. So career counseling,
mm-hmm,
where somebody would need some sort of guidance in subject selection, maybe in the last 3 years of their schooling career, and then with a little bit of avenues into their tertiary studies and what kind of a professional route to take. And then you get couple counseling, which is also very popular, where you would go for premarital and postmarital counseling. Another type could be something like individual counseling, which consists of all the different types of problems a person may experience. Nothing really that you can put in a particular aspect or group.
Yes, okay. Also, to reach that point where you feel that, you know, I need help from someone else now, I need a third opinion, or I need someone who is totally objective and I need their perspective. Getting to that point is really a point of empowerment. And for a parent to say that I'm trying my best with my child's behavior problem, or maybe, I mean, let's face reality, you know, if you are faced with a situation where you could have been in a hijacking, there could be a break-in in your home, that is trauma counseling. And there's something also we need to talk about, that talking about the trauma that you've been through, expressing your feelings, that is part of healing. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Definitely. Trauma counseling is of utmost importance, especially if you have experienced something and now you are in total shock. Speaking about it with your family, whom have also been through this experience, is one aspect on its own, because you are able to relate and relive the situation. But how to get rid of the feeling is not being able to communicate with your family, is rather to attend a counseling process where you are able to reflect on what has happened instead of reliving the experience. So during this type of trauma counseling process, you would be able to express your emotions to the counselor as opposed to reliving the entire experience of the trauma.
It's very important. Highly recommended, obviously, because like you said, you know, to help the person cope with the situation and move forward in the positive light.
You are living with a burden of what has happened to you. It has taken an impact on your mental well-being, on your physical well-being, as well as emotional well-being. And remember that holistic development of an individual refers to all of these different facets interrelating with each other. One facet affected is going to affect the development of the individual as a whole.
Yes, very, very important. Ripple effect. Mm-hmm. Ripple effect. Now, I don't know if you remember, Nismira, you know, when we were in high school, mm-hmm. there used to be guidance counselors. I remember there was this teacher, I attended in Asia Secondary, and there was this teacher, Mr. Lala. And obviously, we would go and speak to him if we needed advice regarding subject choices and career choices. But he was also available if there was anything that, you know, you may have been experiencing as a teen. They even had peer counselors, which was really, really important as well, because obviously, the way you could maybe speak to your peer, would, if that made you more comfortable, that was better for you in healing. Unfortunately, most mainstream schools do not have that facility anymore. Why is a guidance counselor based at the school so important, especially in today's time?
So when we talk about the subject that we had as guidance counseling at school, it has now been replaced in the early years of school called life skills. And then as you go from grade 4 onwards until matric, it would be life orientation. But like you mentioned, if you need discussions about general topics and subject choices, that is all covered in that particular subject syllabus. But when it comes to the consultations, or when you seek advice from a person, unfortunately, that is no longer covered in the syllabus of these subjects. So many mainstream schools do not have counselors or psychometrists or even therapists to help children like this. And one of the major reasons for this is the cost involved in hiring or employing a therapist, a counselor, or a psychometrist. Now, there is a vast difference between an educational psychologist and a counselor. There are a lot of similarities between the two, but unfortunately, an educational psychologist would pull in more income as opposed to a counselor. So, unfortunately, you know, schools do not really have the necessary resources to employ counselors at their schools.
But do you agree that now would be a time where the need for it would be much greater?
It is really, really important, especially now with COVID being around, many subjects, many classes have been split. So people are no longer with their groups that they used to sit with. And I personally feel that the need is definitely there now more than ever.
Okay. when it comes to counseling as well, that whole aspect of give us maybe an example of a counseling session. I would guess, depending on the need, counseling sessions would be planned around that. And also, you know, just for those people who may be considering it, like you said, that atmosphere of non-judgment and where they can feel comfortable. If you can just please talk to us about that.
So as counselors, as therapists, as psychometrists, we are bound with certain ethical principles to practice upon. And of course, the first one would be confidentiality. Okay, I'm just going to touch on those two aspects. The first one is confidentiality, and then the second one would be unconditional positive regard. So with confidentiality, you are bound by an agreement between yourself as the counselor and the client or the student with whom you are counseling. This is an agreement between both parties to maintain a professional relationship and not to disclose or divulge any information that has been discussed during the counseling process. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are extreme cases when you would be required to provide your notes that you have made during the counseling process. But this is an extreme case in the case of a legal system or some sort of a court case where a child might be attending a counseling session and they would like to see the child's view. By then, it is an extreme case, so you would be liable to provide the law system with this kind of information. But aside from that, under no circumstances can this be broken.
All right. And I think also that would be very important. It would be the relationship between a counselor and the person that is in front of you, building that trust between you and the person that is confiding in you.
So that brings me to my second point, which is the unconditional positive regard and the building of rapport. So when you have unconditional positive regard for your client, that means that you accept the client or the person, regardless of their age, gender, personality, physical appearance, or even, you know, their socioeconomic status. You need to regard each individual for whom they are and not for any other aspects relating to them. And together with unconditional positive regard, we speak about establishing rapport, which is, you know, building a professional relationship, understanding the person for whom they are, not for what they are or what situations they are bringing into the counseling process.
And an important point I could say now is that when somebody is confiding in you, they are trusting you. That is an amana placed on you. And the advice that you would give them, or even listening to them and give them direction, obviously we ask Allah first to guide us to be able to guide them, inshallah. So that's something that we should be thinking about very, very strongly before we even want to be doing counseling or coaching. That what you're doing is this person is coming to you and they're looking for solutions or helping you to guide them in that solutions, and they are entrusting you with the situation, and this is an amana, very, very important. Inshallah, we will be continuing after the break. If there's anything that you would like to share with us, please do call us on 011-854-1548. I have received a few messages that we will be discussing later, inshallah. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're back onto Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, and this morning we're talking about the need for counseling with my guest, Sister Nazmira Abu Ismail, who is a life coach, a counselor, and a psychologist. And before the ad break, we were talking about the importance of counseling, types of counseling, and obviously the benefits of counseling. And, you know, I've received a few messages. In fact, the one I was a listener that actually mentioned that her daughter had experienced lots of bullying at high school. And this child's obviously someone that has lots of low self-esteem and never told her parents what was going on. Obviously, the mom noticed the physical appearance of the child. The child wasn't eating, the child was tired all the time, the child was irritable all the time. And she said the biggest problem that they had was her daughter didn't want to open up to her. She didn't want to tell her what was going on because she felt embarrassed. And the mom felt so helpless and she didn't know how to assist her child. And as Nazmira mentioned earlier, that sometimes seeking professional help can be expensive. And they just mentioning that they contacted someone at Islamic Helpline, and they want to thank the people at Islamic Helpline for assisting their child, who is, mashallah, doing so much better now. So she's actually saying, as a parent, if you feel like you're in a corner and you don't know what to do, don't think for once that you are inadequate as a parent. going out to get help for your child is empowering enough. So she just basically wants to share this message with listeners to say that there are ways of making situations better. There are people who are willing to assist, and there are also people who are willing to assist that will not charge, it will not cost you an arm and a leg. So Nazmira, I think that's so empowering for this mom to share this with us.
I think it is really brave of this mom to come forward and actually bring about the situation. Many times, you know, when a child is attending counseling, sometimes parents feel ashamed or embarrassed to acknowledge that their child is going for counseling, because like we spoke about earlier, it's not that something is wrong with your child. Perhaps your child is undergoing something and is unable to talk to you about it. So it's quite important that they come forward, and hats off to the mom for noticing these signs and, you know, all these symptoms that her child was displaying, not eating, perhaps not being herself, not talking, not portraying her original personality. These are all very important signs and symptoms that tell us that something is wrong with your child.
The red flags, definitely. Another question that I received from one of the listeners is that why are men and boys not as eager to go for counseling as young girls and women? And I said, I'm going to leave that question to you. You're the expert. You can answer. I don't know. My impression would be, does not everybody, you know, we are generalizing right now. So you can actually do this. You can answer this question.
Well, I'll just say jazakallah to the sister who has sent this message through. It's quite interesting. So in general, even when it comes to bullying, and I'm going to go back to bullying because we have a stereotype and we feel that because boys are so strong, they are more dominant and they are more assertive and aggressive. So we feel that maybe, you know, bullying happens among boys. And the same way when it comes to counseling, you feel that only girls would attend counseling. Why? Because they are more submissive. They are more passive. They are more soft. And they tend to be weaker. But this is just a perception, and this is just a stereotype. So boys, in actual, do go for counseling, but less frequently than girls, because there is a stigma attached more to boys who attend counseling, because they would then be seen as weaker, submissive, and passive, where in general, boys would like to be seen as dominant, assertive, aggressive, and strong.
Now, my question to you and I is, when are we breaking that cycle? When are we breaking that stereotype? Absolutely nothing wrong with crying. Our beloved Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam often cried. Absolutely nothing wrong with going to seek guidance from, you know, getting advice from somebody else. It's like making mashwira, that you're asking, okay, is this okay? Is that okay? When are we going to be breaking these stereotypes? Because there's nothing wrong with it.
There is absolutely nothing wrong with it. We can try to break the stereotype when we try and change the society and the community's perception, firstly, about counseling. And this stems from the problem that when somebody is attending counseling, if an external party, a third party, the community finds out about this, let's say, for example, your child was attending the same counseling process by the same counselor as somebody else, and if they are seen in the same process or in the same environment, it generally stems that there was a lack in the parents' upbringing. That is why something is wrong with the child, and that is why now the child has attended a counseling process. But we need to break that cycle, that chain of thought, that if your child is attending counseling, it is the parents' fault. It has nothing to do with the parents.
If the child is attending counseling, it is actually the parents and the caregivers that is empowering their child to make things better. Now, an obvious question. Suppose, there's a case of domestic violence and children are observing this, you know, they're watching their parents fighting all the time, and they're in this atmosphere of fear and uncertainty and lots of anxiety, and nothing is done about this. This child is not getting any professional help. This child is basically observing all of this and having to go to school and to madrasa and to pretend all is well. What happens then? What happens to this child as he or she is growing up, and later what happens to this child as an adult?
Okay, so firstly, by observing this as a child, parents fighting, or even physical abuse, you are integrating this entire process into your mind. So you are creating this framework in your mind that it is okay for a man to hit a woman. It is okay for, and it's normal for a woman to be submissive, when in actual this is not true. So firstly, this is what's growing into the child's mind. Secondly, by not dealing with this, the child tends to grow up into a very withdrawn individual who does not express their feelings, generally becomes an introvert. Now, introverts, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you have experienced anything like this, but they tend to be more self-withdrawn. So you would find them not even expressing the basic form of communication or happiness or sadness with any other person. So they go into this kind of a shell where even if it's a happy occasion, they won't show any emotion. If it's a sad occasion, they won't show any emotion. They'll just be totally neutral.
Because they haven't learned to express the emotions.
And that is what the counseling process aims to do. It's very facilitative. We try and let the client take ownership, okay, of what they are feeling. We do not give directive. We lay avenues for direction, but you need to express to us what is it that you are going through. And based on that, we provide avenues of direction and then work in a structured way forward.
And it's very important that you've mentioned that. I have another question here from another listener that's saying that, you know, my child's in primary school and attending counseling sessions. And at some point in time, the counselor requested that the family get involved as well. And the mom's a bit hesitant about that, again, in the sense that, you know, what will people think? And she's like, you know, when it comes to group sessions, how does that work? This is someone that's considering doing the group counseling and just needs some guidance.
You know, sister, you don't have to worry about anything or being hesitant of joining this kind of a group therapy, because remember, the reason the counselor has requested for you as the mom and for the dad perhaps to be involved in this kind of a situation is because something has come up in the counseling process, something that the child may have mentioned, which is of utmost importance and concern. And that is the reason why they would like to involve you, to hear your viewpoint of this particular situation and to work with you and the child together for a way forward. So bringing us back to confidentiality, you do not need to fear about being judged or anything that is being discussed during the counseling process, which would be disclosed or divulged to a third party. Whatever happens in the process would definitely stay in that particular room.
I just need to share this, just some information that I got right now. And, you know, Nazmira, you can elaborate on this. It says, important tips on counseling for teenagers. Number one, listen and reflect. Many times when people are approached by teenagers for counseling, they immediately start to feel like they have the words of wisdom they need to impart. Number two, never judge. Number three, don't over-identify. Number four, differentiate between danger and drama. I think that's very important. Yes. Number five, activate their family systems. That's where the group therapy would come in. And number six, small talk matters. Small talk matters in building trust.
Yes, yes.
Would you like to add on to that list?
Definitely. I would like to elaborate on number one when they say listen attentively. Because remember, when your child comes home from school and is talking to you about things, sometimes they may rephrase the entire scenario and situation using person X or person Y, when in actual, they are trying to relate their feelings to you without identifying that it is them that is going through this particular situation. So as parents, we need to listen really critically. What is our child saying? Could this be applicable to our child? Is it possible that our child is going through this instead of person X or person Y? It's very important that we take cognizance of what is happening in our child's life. When it comes to, I like the point about danger and drama.
Yes, yes, please elaborate on that.
I think, you know, many times This is particularly in a school situation, okay? So many times, just to get away from a certain subject, you would find a child saying, you know, I need counseling, but I can only go for counseling during this particular subject.
Or if they didn't do their homework.
Obviously, didn't do homework, doesn't like the teacher, doesn't enjoy the subject. Now, that is the drama aspect, you know, where you're just seeking attention or you just want to be removed from that particular class for that particular period and go for counseling. And there's nothing really wrong with you. You instead just want to have a nice chat with the counselor about random general topics. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then when you identify with danger, of course, now this is children that are going through serious problems, right? Family problems, bullying problems, behavior problems, personality problems, just confident, not confident enough to stand up to anybody. And confidence is really important. Many children come for counseling because they lack confidence.
Yes.
So it's important to differentiate between children or students that are really in need of counseling and those that just want to come for counseling just to escape from subjects or from class or from anything that requires their attention.
All right, I have another question from another listener that wants to know, how do you convince your teenager that you want him or her to go for counseling?
You don't convince your child. You let your child come forward to you and tell you that he or she needs to go for counseling. And how that happens is for you to sit down with your child and explain to your child that you have noticed, you have taken cognizance of this different kinds of personalities or behaviors that have recently emerged in your child's life. And then based on that, your child would probably to a certain extent open up that he or she is going through some sort of problem, through something. Secondly, you shouldn't be worried about stigmas attached to counseling. I think about a decade ago, the emergence of counseling has become more prevalent in the westernized societies, but due to COVID in this particular year, I think counseling has really just emerged completely now.
Absolutely.
Many people might not know, but there is a large population today, maybe children, teenagers, youth, young adults, even middle-aged adults and old people for some reason are attending counseling. We discussed main types of counseling earlier, but trust me, there is absolutely nothing wrong if you or your child or both of you are attending a counseling process. Remember, when you're attending counseling, it's not that you have a mental problem. You have some sort of an issue that you are just trying to resolve. Some people just come for counseling to get a clear, direct path of where they actually need to go. This does not mean that something is wrong with them. They are just seeking a third view.
And twists and turns are all part of life. It's all building stepping stones to where you need to be.
How are you expected to grow if you don't have these twists and turns? Can you ever imagine a life that is smooth sailing?
It'd be so boring. Anyway, Nazmira, always a pleasure having you on air with us. May the Almighty reward you in abundance for the outstanding work that you do. And please remember us in your duas. And again, you know, may the Almighty reward you for sharing this gems of wisdom with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Vivian.
Only a pleasure. To our beloved listeners, just a reminder from me, it's okay to not be okay all the time. It's part of life. We thank Allah for the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We shower our gratitude and praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any difficulty that we are facing, just remember, it brings us closer to the Almighty. It helps us to build character, and it's preparing us for what's to come next. Inshallah, I look forward to chatting to you next week. Next week, we're talking about homeschooling. Yay or nay? Your thoughts about it. COVID-19 has brought homeschooling to a whole nother level. What are your thoughts about it? We will be talking about that next week. On behalf of myself and my sound engineer, we wish you a good week ahead. Please remember us in your du'as, and inshallah, we will be chatting again next week. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.